Yeah.
This is the Relevant Podcast.
It's episode 1104, and it's the Relevant Podcast. Here in Orlando, I'm your host, Cameron Strang, and joining me from Loverland, Virginia, is Jesse Carey.
Hello, hello.
From Nashville, Tennessee, artist, producer, mogul, he's back, Derek Miner.
What up, though?
Just down the road there in Nashville, our managing editor, downtown Emily Brown.
Hey, y'all.
And our newest cast member from Social Club Misfits, it's Marty.
Hey, what's up?
Is that really what you're going with? You did what's up last time.
Yeah.
You said, Marty, it's me, or at one time.
It's like, me. It's me. What's up?
You said your name. You referred to yourself in third person.
Model. Olive oil enthusiast. Marty. It's me.
There you go. You need to drop like a fun fact about yourself every time.
I need to think about that. I really need to.
You gotta help me write your intro, dude. Help me write your intro.
Yeah, I'm gonna ChatGPT it today.
I've done that, actually. I've ChatGPT'd intros for like different guest segments and stuff. It's usually pretty good. Yeah.
So that doesn't work when your name's Emily Brown, because there's a lot of people for ChatGPT to pull from. So I'm a very accomplished person, though, according to ChatGPT.
They're like, Emily Brown, the renowned scientist?
That's what I'm saying. If there's an AI takeover, you're going to be pretty well off, because they're not going to want to mess with you because you're so accomplished, you know?
That's right.
That is true. Yeah. There's another writer named Emily Brown. There's, I think, a lot of athletes named Emily Brown. So if you Google Emily Brown, I'm doing fantastic. Like, I am really on top of the world here.
There's only a couple, according to Google News, there's only a couple Jesse Careys, and mostly they're notable for random crimes they've committed in Canada and North America. So, you know.
Are you talking about yourself in the third person again?
I only know of two other Cameron Strangs. One is the president of Warner Brothers Music. He started out running a country label. And so, like, I get thanked on a lot of weird album liner notes, and people will send it to me, like, online, like, what did you have to do with Johnny Cash's, you know, best hits, you know? And then,
what were you doing on Dirk's Bentley album?
Exactly. Dirk's Bentley, exactly right. And then the other Cameron Strang was an 11th month old that fell out of the third story of a building in Illinois and lived.
Okay, that took a turn.
Oh, bro, they had us in the first half. I ain't gonna lie, bro. You had me in the first half, bro. I was like, whoa.
He lived. Anyway.
Good for him. I do have a question I've been dying to ask you guys, because, you know, this group of guys, I feel like we've got a good chance here. I've seen this going around online. How often do you guys think about the Roman Empire? And be honest.
All the time. Honestly.
Zero times.
All the time.
Emily, it's a joke.
I've seen this going around, too, the joke that, you know, men think about the Roman Empire almost daily or multiple times throughout the day. I rarely think about the Roman Empire. I almost never do. But there are things I do think about frequently.
Like, what are they?
I find myself coming back to the idea of, like, who's the first person that's like, that saw a horse? Right? Because it happened at some point in history. That's the one. That's the one we're going to ride. Like, we're going to ride that thing forever. There are tons of smart, big animals that move quickly. At some point in history, there's some guy
Somebody said, I'm getting on that.
I'm going to jump on that thing.
I'm assuming they looked at the teeth and the claws, and they were like, you know what? I think I got a chance with this one.
I don't know about
that jaguar over there. I probably
you got buffalo. You got all these big animals. And who was when they finally did it, right? What was the reaction when he rode it back into the village or the tribe or whatever? You know, like, was everyone's mind just because that happened at some point in history? Mm-hmm. Somebody rode up on a horse and no one had ever done that before. Like, think about you're just chilling out by the fire, because I guess that's what they were doing, you know, right. You know, eating whatever you're eating at the time.
Berries,
you know, forage,
probably.
Berries.
Seems like early.
Yeah.
And your homie just rides in on a horse. Like, is your mind just total? Like, your whole reality has to be like, we can ride those things?
Look, the person was either like the person no one in the village thought could accomplish anything, or like a Vladimir Putin type cat. There's no in between. It's like he was either like just this muscular, like, that dude's a savage And he just like, that's another savage thing he did. Or it's the guy that's like, I think he's a little crazy.
Like, it's the crazy weirdo or the savage weirdo. It's either one of them.
But it's a weirdo, nonetheless. Like,
I think about this about weirdo, food, nonetheless. A lot about food. Who was the first person who discovered, if I dig in the ground and pull up this brown bulby thing, it's delicious if I fry it. You know, like, how did they come up with the way we make food? You know, eat what we eat.
Okay, here's from one watching specifically. The animals. Here's certain, one specifically.
Certain mushrooms are delicious and nutritious, and certain ones will kill you instantly. Who figured out which is which?
Send you to a whole nother dimension.
Yeah, exactly.
That was trial and error.
Yeah, a lot of trial and error. But what I think about when, with food isn't so much the trial and error stuff. Like, think about something like spaghetti. Who was like, you know what would be cool with this dough that's already just perfectly fine to consume? Let's chop it up and make it look like a bunch of hairs, and then we'll boil it and we'll eat it and see how that like, what was the process that they with spaghetti? Like, who was the first one that's
the
like...
The guy's name was Salvatore Sabatini. True story. He's Italian. He invented it. If you want to... I know about all these facts. All Italian facts, bring them my way, Jesse. I got you.
I want to hear it. I want to hear it.
Salvatore invented it. He was working late night at a farm, needed something to cook up. I think that was the Cobb salad. Yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about here.
Bob Cobb.
That was the Cobb salad. Something about Bob Cobb. Yeah. My bad.
Yeah.
Curb your enthusiasm.
I can tell you how fried chicken was invented.
Yeah, how is... Okay, for real.
Because that's crazy. When you think about it, it's breaded, right? Yeah. And then it's... Right, it was invented in the Bible.
What?
Okay.
Leviticus 2:7 in the King James Version. Because that's the only version I read because I grew up in the gospel. And let's see. It says that, and if thy libation be a meat offering, bacon in the frying pan, it shall be made of fine flour with oil. And thou shalt bring the meat offering made of these things unto the Lord. When it shall be presented to the priest, he shall bring it to the offer. Altar. That's literally in the Bible.
Bring fried chicken to the altar.
Fried something. Batter it in fine flour and oil. And you know what a sacrifice was. It's to be burned. So dip it in fine flour and oil.
Do you think
fried in a frying pan and bring it to the Lord?
There was just some priest somewhere who's like, man, I am hungry. I gotta write some laws right now.
He was writing a recipe and accidentally made its way into the Bible.
Yeah. I just got a whole chapter about weird dress code stuff, and I am starving.
Hey, you know these sacrifices added some season on it, bro. You know, hey.
I still like to think of some hillside somewhere where they're like, you know, I haven't seen Frank in a couple days. He was, you know, we're sitting here, we get our big pair. What the heck is that? And then over the horizon, who's coming on top of a horse? Here comes Frank
with fried chicken. Yeah. Imagine the smells. They've never smelled anything like that before in their life.
What's
going on here?
Like, who invented, like, let's put salt on something? It's just like dirt on the edge of like an ocean,
right?
Yeah, but I mean, like, who said I'm gonna go scoop up all that stuff that's dried
that
on the
like
shore?
It was an accident, like seasoned. It accidentally got on there and it was like, wait, this is actually pretty good, and then they just kept doing it.
It's amazing.
I didn't know
to
that
me.
Cocaine went through your nose better,
right?
They just just eat it. Whoa. like a little ball of
whoa.
Your
Miami just popped out, buddy.
I'm sorry. I was actually thinking about the fried chicken thing, because in California, Koreans love fried chicken and they have tons of fried chicken spots. And so the other day I asked the owner, I was like, hey, so like, how did this even start? Like, how did Koreans get into it? And he started telling me this whole story about how like it was invented, and this guy behind me goes, he cursed. That's, he's like, that's BS. He's like, you guys were taught during the Korean War. He's like, black soldiers taught you guys how to cook. And the guy's like, his whole mission statement from the wall that he was like reading off of. He's like, my grandfather started it at, you know, like 1920.
Grandfather love blur from
Jerome. The guy behind me was like, that's crap. No, it's not true. You stole, like, black soldiers taught you guys. And I remember the guy was like,
Tyrone taught him how to make fried chicken.
Tyrone taught Jinsum how to do it, and it worked out perfectly.
And it worked. Hey, but listen though,
Korean fried chicken is the best kind of
food.
Korean fried chicken, crazy, bro.
And they eat it with spaghetti.
Even sit up there and hold you,
Jesse,
bro.
They eat it with spaghetti.
Dude,
I didn't know that. You know they learned that from
spaghetti.
Black people,
I don't know why they. It's called Jollibee's. You can go there. They serve. It's fast food. It's fried chicken, spaghetti.
All right.
But Korean is really, shout out to my Korean homies. I love my Korean homies. But y'all really is like light-skinned black people, bro, for real. I ain't going to hold you, bro.
Bro, when you go to Compton and you see the Koreans in Compton, you're like, I've just seen Korean Kendrick Lamar. Like, you'll see, like, dudes with dreads, and they're, like, hanging out, and they're flagging. Like, they're throwing flags in there. It's real thing. Like,
I would love to see I would love to see, like, a documentary on, like, how the Korean War and black culture begin to, like, influence one another.
Much more than any other culture. They stuck together.
Yeah. It's random, bro. Like, it's very random. For sure.
So no, Emily, we don't think about the Roman Empire. We think about other weird stuff.
We got way off track.
We think about other weird stuff all the time.
ChatGPT. Yeah, this is actually so much worse than the Roman Empire.
Yeah. So the idea is that men think about, when you say men think about the Roman Empire, what do they mean? Because if you're talking about Jesus in the Roman Empire, like, I mean, I guess you could think about Rome almost every day. You know what I'm saying?
I think it started with like a TikTok. Some girl, yeah, I think, asked her boyfriend, I can't remember how it came up exactly, but basically some girl asked her boyfriend, like, how often do you think about the Roman Empire? And he said, like, a couple times a day. And it was like, what? That's insane. And so then people were like, let me ask, you know, this guy in my life, how often they think of it. And so many guys were like, I don't know, a few times a week or something like that. And it was just like,
and then everybody started playing along. Like, all the guys started playing along, telling the girls that we think about it like 10 times a day and like aqueducts and all these things. And all the girls on TikTok are like, is this real? Like, people can't figure out if this is a real thing. It's really funny to me that guys are
The first lady, we have to ask her what her occupation is, if she's like a history teacher or something of that nature. Mm-hmm. And she was talking to her boyfriend. He's obviously going to placate to her ideas because he's trying to have an excellent night. He's trying to have an excellent night. So
It's like, all the time, obviously.
It's fascinating.
I just love it. Just love it.
Then the next girl found out about it.
Why do the guys sound like that? Why are they all
that's what I was going to say. Every man in their mind is like that. We're stuck and we just come up with whatever. Like, literally every man is literally Steve Carell. Like, at some level, we are various versions of Steve Carell that's just trying to figure life out.
Speaking of a man trying to figure life out, Phil Wickham joins us later today. I don't know. I'm just trying to
say. Great transition.
Sure. Aren't we all, Phil?
Does Phil Wickham look like Steve Carell? Yes or no?
Phil Wickham is one of the best looking men in the Christian music industry.
Hey, Steve Carell is a handsome guy.
Yeah, what are you trying to say about
that? We're not talking season one, Michael Scott. Yeah, that was a different man.
Yeah, we're talking after he became a movie star. Yeah.
Bro, Steve Carell, bro.
Steve Carell.
No. Yes.
He looks great.
Steve Carell is fly, bro. Like,
now. Not season one.
Remember when he had to get hair plugs? He talks about it in the commentary. He's like, man, before I lost weight, had hair plugs. Yeah. I was such an Office fan. I was watching commentary, like, full through. And he was like, making fun of his baldness, and he was chunkier. And he was like, man, I got taken care of in season two. From the Dundies.
They cast him. Look more like the sweaty Ricky Gervais character, you know, so they want him to look like that. And then they figured out, we have our own thing. This isn't trying to just be Ricky Gervais. And then he got movies and stuff, so he had to lose weight for the movie roles, like up. And
Phil Wickham is a very handsome man, but I feel like if we put some like circle glasses on him and just give him the pepper, you know what I'm saying, the salt and pepper look with a beard, I think we have a Steve Carell.
I give him like 20. He's like, I don't even think he's 40 yet. So he's got some time to get salt and pepper hair on his own.
Yeah, for sure.
There you go. All right. Well, we have your feedback at the end of the show. And right now, stay tuned. Up next, it's Relevant Buzz. Listening to Declan McKenna. The song is Nothing Works. Okay. It, really optimistic
That's
song.
A sad
Start
song.
The show with just a little upbeat ditty. Nothing works.
Nothing works. That, hey, I promise that's how I feel when I'm at home and my horse. Kids yeah. have been home for the summer. Like, yeah, nothing works. They just broke everything. We're like,
Not sure what's next after college? Ready to step out of your comfort zone and into something meaningful? Check out the Global Ambassador Program from ELIC. You'll spend 9 months, September to May, on a team of passionate people just like you in Thailand, Tunisia, or Uzbekistan. You'll grow through mentorship, take language classes, immerse yourself in a new culture, and teach English to the local community, all while building real-life skills and making a real impact. Sound good? Head to elic.org/relevant to learn more. Again, that's elic.org/relevant. All right, it's time for
Relevant Buzz.
All right, tell us what's happening at the intersection of faith and culture this week, Emily.
All right. Well, last week we talked about the ongoing writers and actors strike. I'm not giving another update. What I am going to talk about is something really fun that's kind of happened because of it.
A few days ago. Oh, no. Sorry.
No. I'm trying to give a positive spin here.
Oh,
okay.
Got it.
a few days ago, some of the actors got together to start an online charity auction with the Union Solidarity Coalition to help benefit crew members whose healthcare benefits are currently at risk during the strike. So, yes, unemployment. But this is a really great thing. Like, these celebrities are just honestly getting really creative and offering really interesting opportunities for people to bet on through eBay.
Bid.
Bid on
that would be way more interesting.
That would be crazy,
Jesse.
That would be
like
crazy.
Mono battles that you bet on. Yeah.
Or celebrities like how much you want to bet? I can jump over this fence. just
that's
a running
a bad
start.
Idea.
We're all thinking back to like you know that question you just asked, like how long do you think about Romans? We're all thinking about Roman stuff, dueling to the death, little thing. Like we're all kind of going
jousting
back.
Or yeah,
jousting.
Yeah.
I want to see just like a random celebrity. I want to be like Sylvester Stallone. Like, how much do you want to bet? Running start, I can just clear that picket fence right now. All the proceeds.
I want to buy $1,000 Sylvester Stallone sword fight with him. We fight with swords to the death.
$15. I will bet $15. Just clear.
Jesse, you
one
might
jump.
Have a gambling problem. I'm just saying. Like, sports betting might have.
I've been on a hot streak lately, by the way.
Yeah.
Week two NFL.
That definitely took a different. I hate to disappoint that there is no Sylvester Stallone bets or anything like that. But you can't. I will give you some that you can do that are less violent, but also more than $15 because some of them are going for a couple thousand already. One of the ones that I think is the funniest, Adam Scott, who played Ben Wyatt on Parks and Rec, he will walk your dog and you can join him on the walk.
That is
if
awesome.
You want him to.
That is awesome.
It's based in LA only, so
I'm going to do
Marty,
it.
You gotta, if you have a dog or if you don't, go buy a dog real quick.
It's going to be a long walk.
You can also Zoom with pretty much the entire cast of New Girl. So like Zooey Deschanel, Lamorne Morris, Max Greenfield. You have like
Wait,
an hour long
Zoom.
You
don't like New
them.
Girl? You don't like.
I mean,
the Zoom
Girl
thing
is
lame.
I just, you know, it's like to me a version of four different shows in one. And I don't know. I'm just not a fan of Zooey. I'm just not a fan of her. She's like,
you can tell her that on Zoom if you want.
I'm actually, how much is it? Just kidding.
I think it's going for about $3,000 right now.
I'm trying to see who is Zooey. Zooey Deschanel.
I mean, she was great in Elf.
What's she play at?
She's great in Elf. She's a
great
in Elf.
She's
a great singer, too. She's like a very interesting voice.
What can you bid on her? What can you bid on her to do, Emily?
The whole cast on Zoom.
It's a Zoom with the whole cast.
How awkward is that?
That would be awkward, man.
And you're like, hey, guys, I spent $4,000. This is my grandma's inheritance. I spent it on this.
That's what I'm saying.
It's been my grandma's inheritance on this.
That's what I'm saying. What would be much more interesting for me would be like, I could bet you $50 that you can't eat a large pizza like in one sitting. 15 minutes.
Okay,
Deschanel.
You could try this. You can get dinner with Bob Odenkirk and David Cross.
That's
that'd
cool.
Be fun. That'd be
That's
fun.
Very
That's
cool.
Dope.
So that could be fun. And I absolutely think you could convince them to do like a pizza
100%
contest.
Bet on that. Yeah. I love David Cross and I love Bob. Better Call Saul, right? Let's
Better
do it.
Saul. What else? Okay, Natasha Lyonne, she will help you solve a crossword puzzle.
Who's? Oh, there you go. Okay.
Whose manager made that? Whose manager was really like, you know what, my employee should do a crossword puzzle via Zoom.
Yeah. I feel like she was probably asked to do it, and she was like, what is something that will take the least amount of time and that I'm going to have fun with? Like, she's Sylvester, already doing the crossword puzzle. She's like
Sylvester
puzzle.
Stallone's over here jumping over fences. I'm just going to do a crossword puzzle.
You can get the cast of Bob's Burgers to sing a song written just for you.
That's cool.
That's kind of cool.
It's very cool.
That's
there
dope.
You go. John Lithgow will paint a watercolor portrait of your dog.
That's awesome.
Okay, that's
John
cool.
Lithgow.
Yeah,
that's kind of. That would be a great conversation starter.
Exactly.
For
is like, a conversation piece right there. Yeah.
And they did give examples on eBay. Apparently, he does this a lot. This is like a his
is it like
hobby.
The George Bush
They're
paints
not
dogs?
Yeah, it's yeah. the Epstein paintings. Basically, he painted those in Epstein's house.
Oh, relax.
Oh my gosh.
He painted Bill Clinton with a 9/11. Like,
don't put that on him. Don't put that. No. He is a good man.
Yo, he's actually really good
he's
at
awesome.
Painting.
He's also a great actor.
No, they're actually
this
they're
is crazy.
Good.
I'm looking at his paintings. Like,
yeah,
he is
bad.
Really good.
This like, is one of those okay. things where, like, someone who's talented is just talented in all things.
I want John Lithgow to paint a picture of the cast of New Girl on Zoom singing to me. How much will it cost?
All staring at you.
There's a billionaire who's going to buy all of these, and he's going to do all these people do his bidding, basically. He's just going to make them all do his little thing
that
for
would
him.
Actually be really
that'd
funny.
Be
one person
that'd be a great movie, right?
What if I bought a Zoom call to have them like do like work? Like, hey y'all, input these numbers into a spreadsheet for me.
There
real
was
quick.
Good. I like that
who
one.
Who is it? Rosemary DeWitt and someone else. They were going to offer relationship advice via Zoom.
I'm good.
Yeah, right now, celebrity is giving relationship advice is really what we want. Right
yeah,
Jonathan Lipnicki, the guy, the little kid from Jerry Maguire, he's going to be singing in front of your house if you want. I see that on eBay.
Holding a
the little kid from Jerry Maguire. He's grown up now. Yeah. He's not a kid anymore, but he will sing in front of your house.
The average human head weighs 8 pounds.
Yeah, yeah. he will sing in front of your house for you. He'll serenade you and your girl. I don't know why. That's going for $30 though.
Oh, that's
so
sad.
I think he hit hard times or no one's been on it.
Sad. Maybe that one just started.
You see that one?
That's,
yeah.
That's pretty low.
There it is.
That's rough.
But yeah, there's a ton of other experiences. There's also like signed merch available. Like you can get an apron signed by the cast of The Bear. You can get a Hawaiian shirt cool. signed by Daniel Radcliffe that he wore while he was playing Weird Al.
That's awesome.
I think it's funny that's he's offering because I know he's got a lot of Harry Potter memorabilia.
Yeah,
but
that's
like,
kind of a, that's messed up.
Again, I actually think he probably doesn't. Again, he seems like he's so over Harry Potter. True. He probably threw that stuff in the trash.
But that's the thing that you were like, I have this wand from like the fourth movie. Y'all want it? Like,
I want to see that.
He can't do it.
I want to see Gary Busey. $50 says you can't lift that old tube TV clear over your head. Just and hold it there. $50.
I bet you can't eat a hot dog Gary Busey once in one bite. Let's see.
Yeah.
With his teeth. Let's see what we can do.
I bet I can fit 6 golf balls, standard golf balls, in my mouth one time. Here we go.
I was about to say that.
40 bucks.
Because remember 40
bucks. I lose. It's going to the writers.
Wait, so in the bet, are you also doing this or you just want to see if he
no,
can
I'm
do
betting.
It.
If I win the bet and they can't do it, they have to pay me out of their pocket. If I lose, I make a donation of said bet amount to the writers
so
or
like
actors
a side
or
bet
killed or
on
whatever.
On the bidding, there's a side bet that you added to.
That would be more right. entertaining.
What else
maybe
you have
they'll go
movie?
For it. We'll see. There's also something I wanted to talk about was this really interesting study that came out that we thought was really surprising. In the first half of 2023, abortion rates increased pretty significantly from recent years, which is shocking considering last summer the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade.
How is that possible? If I mean, because like of the states that pretty much banned it and those people have to go to another state, it's not like 100% of the people who would have had the procedure in that state travel across state lines. How is it possible that it's gone up?
Right. So there, you know, there have been some reports of women that have traveled across states. Mostly what experts are saying is that the rise in abortions can be attributed to a growing reliance on what are called, quote, self-managed abortions. And these are things like abortion pills that can be accessed from your physician or via telemedicine. And that's really where the increase comes from. So if I'm a woman in a state where abortion is illegal or
you know, after a certain time is illegal, I can still access a telehealth physician in another state who can prescribe a pill that is then sent to me.
Well, and I think that's like one of the nuances of the life conversation is like, you know, seeing the issue of being pro-life beyond just legislation, because, you know, there is a paradox where scarcity creates demand. You know, you look at like, it's not like people stopped drinking during prohibition. It's not like people didn't use substances that were illegal for a long time.
It's not, you know, like just because, I didn't listen to secular music just because I wasn't allowed to when I was in high school.
Exactly. But I think there is a case that the pro-life conversation should address other issues beyond just the legality of a medical procedure, because there people who want something are always going to find a way to get it. But how do you address the you know, why they want it in the first place, whether that's economic reasons or social reasons, or, you know, lack of access to, you know, different types of medical care, or, you know, I think it opens up an interesting conversation about what the future of, you know, is the goal of the pro-life movement to limit access to abortion, legal abortion, or is it to limit the number or to decrease the amount or eliminate the number of abortions, you know?
During the Obama administration, every year the number of abortions went down. And that's just so antithetical to what you would think or what the narrative in the media is. And then now that Roe v. Wade has been overturned in this year since, there's been a significant increase in the number of abortions versus a couple of years ago, which is just, it doesn't make sense to me, you know, on both sides.
And there was a, like, right, the first few months after Roe v. Wade was overturned, there was a dip because a lot of women didn't know, you know, that there was other options. And now that there have been resources that have been released, like you said, if someone wants something, they're going to find a way to get it. And I think you make a great point, Jesse, that the legality of it should not be the end goal. It should be addressing the reasons behind it.
Right.
And I think that is like a really, like, this number, yes, is obviously don't love that number. But it is a reminder that there is a conversation to be had and that there is still things that need to be addressed and things that need to be talked about.
We should ask Phil Wickham.
Yeah, Phil. I don't think anybody in the pro-life movement who had been working for decades for the law to be overturned would have anticipated that this has been the early results. Is that?
Or maybe they did. Like, I think sometimes the reason why I say maybe they did, because sometimes in situations like this, you have to think. I'm thinking long term. So, like, right now, yeah, this has created this uptick because people have found out about it. But then after time, they would probably think that the curve would flatten. And if it doesn't flatten, they in some big trouble. Because, I mean, you did all that work for nothing. You did all that work for nothing. You isolated a certain block of people. You know what I mean? It's going to be a... I feel like I say this every podcast. We're in some crazy, unprecedented times.
Yeah.
Like, this is just crazy.
I also think we need to ask Phil how often he thinks about the first guy that ever rode a horse that I just saw. I like one that. And jumped on that back.
I like that.
Took him into the village.
Said, I'm getting on that. Yeah. I wonder if it was like dare. They had some berries had gone sour. They ate the wrong mushroom, and so they're just running around in the woods.
Actually, yeah.
They tried to ride an elephant afterwards, and that didn't work out. They're like,
elephants. People ride elephants.
Cameron, what you're suggesting is there was some sort of strike in the village, in order for those striking.
I bet you can't jump on that horse. Yeah,
they're like, listen, man, I want to help you out here. Why don't we do some fun bets? But you can't ride that thing.
Look, if they don't get this UAW strike figured out, we're gonna be riding horses and elephants real soon.
That's true. No cars.
Gonna be riding elephants and horses real soon.
I'm about to ride a horse. The gas right now in California is like $5.87.
My gas just shot up again. I'm so glad I got a Tesla, boy.
I know. I need to get a something else right now. $70 for a 12 gallon.
Gas station and 5 years.
My all wife right. is complaining, but I'm like, hey, should have got a test.
What a brag, Cameron.
You
know what a saying? Brag. He's like, I haven't had this conversation in 5 years. Really?
I haven't been to a gas station.
Oh my gosh. He's like, hey guys, I own a Tesla.
I just care about the environment, man.
What if you own a Volt? Doing my You're part. Like, I actually don't even own a Tesla. I own a Volt. And that also doesn't need gas.
Doing
either.
Your part.
Not really as much of a. Not as much of a flex.
We had the very first, you know, we had a Prius back in like 2004. Yeah. I've always
like
cared
half
about
gas,
this stuff.
Half electric.
Oh, you had a Prius?
Yeah, I didn't drive. My wife did. My ex wife did. But yeah. Mm. But I bought it. You know, we care about that stuff.
That was the beginning of the end, right there.
It's like, I bought it.
Good God. Well, actually, we had a lot of issues. But yeah, the Prius was definitely the main one. Yeah. All right. What's the last thing, Emily?
Okay. The last thing is the National pulled a major surprise earlier this week and dropped a brand new album in the middle of the night. In April, they had dropped their last album, The First Two Pages of Frankenstein, and just randomly in the middle of the night, they decided to drop a whole full album called Laugh Track. We have one of their songs here.
It finally hits me, a mile's drive. Sky is leaking, my windshield's cracked. I'm feeling sacred, my soul is stripped. The radio's painful, the words are clipped.
All right, all the dads, all the young dads just got really excited.
I like it because it's like, to me, they clearly took a page out of their new collaborator Taylor Swift's book and dropped like a surprise sister album. And I think more artists should do it. I don't know how hard it is to drop a surprise album. I assume not that easy.
Lauren Daigle just did it. I guess it wasn't a surprise though. It's like, hey, I have more tracks that I like.
Marty, is it easy?
Yeah, you just upload it. That's pretty much it. And then you just do the promotion.
Right.
That's pretty much it. You just tell people a little less time.
Yeah. When Beyonce did it like a decade ago, it was like, oh, what a novelty. Now it's like, well, why didn't you just tell us it was coming? Yeah. Like, what benefit is it?
I think Beyonce is what...
The benefit of Beyonce doing it is it's such a media shock.
Like, but I hear The National, it's like, why didn't you just kind of give us a heads up? I would probably would have downloaded it.
Totally
I
don't know.
Yeah.
But I think it's more interesting that like it hasn't even been 6 months since their last album, and they like that's what's more like Beyonce dropping a surprise album
gotta
changed
feed the
everything
pipeline.
For sure.
Yeah, two albums
in 1 year.
Mm.
That's
huge. Rappers been doing two albums in a year for 20 years.
It's DMX.
Yeah. That's true.
Like that's this
it's
is
like,
just
it's like in rap, it's like I'm hot this year, I'm just gonna feed it until
the Nationals,
you know,
like their songs live for like 10 years. So hip hop is just different. But yeah, it's basically upload it and you don't tell people until like it's time.
I don't consider that a surprise. I just consider that like a notification. A surprise is Frank riding into that village that first day. This is just a notification, like ding. Oh, National release an album. Okay, I see. Yeah. Got it. It's not. I'm not like, oh, I have to sit down. This is so shocking. What a surprise! Turn of events. The National. It's just like, oh, okay, yeah. I don't know. I'm not bashing it. I mean, I like the National, but I'm just saying.
But you know what? That's a good point. I think you're also bringing up the disposable. Like how disposable music is right now.
Yeah, that's true.
Because it would be a time when an artist of a certain caliber, if they dropped two albums in the year. I remember when DMX dropped two albums in the same year and went platinum on both. It was crazy. It was a huge deal. Now you have to drop two albums just so someone will listen to the first album.
Now if it was if there was like a fourth Christopher Nolan Batman movie that just came out. That would be surprise.
I would be legit. To watch it right now.
I would be like,
a surprise movie feels different.
Yeah, because it's actually surprising.
Now that's crazy.
Because it's surprise. I think my point is like, that's surprising. You know what I mean? Like a music. The album thing just isn't surprising anymore. It seems like a lot of artists do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's not.
All right, that'll do it for
Relevant Buzz.
Check out relevantmagazine.com every weekday where we're covering the intersection of faith, culture, and everything in between. Thanks, Emily. All right, stay tuned. We up next, we have a lot of questions for Phil Wickham.
This life gonna take time, bomb. Nobody know when he gonna pop out the clouds. They're ready until the time come. I wanna hear, well done. Shall I fillet me young? You never too old, you never too young. Come follow the king, move some. Yesterday gone, don't think about the past. Didn't know who I was under the mask. It look greener when you look at that grass. Jealousy make you blind to what you have. I never trip, never fall. I get up quick, clever. No, we won't be here forever. Walking with God made my principle better.
You're listening to Caleb Gordon. The song is Yesterday Is Gone. She was a chronic people pleaser with an unfulfilling career in Hollywood until she surprised everyone by joining a convent. Equal parts tell-all and rallying cry, Sister Monica Claire's memoir, A Change of Habit, reveals how much we stand to gain when we fully embrace our authentic selves. Sister Helen Prejean says it's, quote, for anyone who needs a little love, a little faith, right now. A Change of Habit, Leaving Behind My Husband, Career, and Everything I Owned to Become a Nun by Sister Monica Claire is available now wherever books are sold. Well, our guest today is Phil Wickham. He just released his latest album, I Believe, which is his 10th studio album. We talked to him about his journey, how he got started, and how his new project was inspired, actually, by the deconstruction movement. Here's our conversation, Phil Wickham. Nobody but Jesus could rescue me from that grave. Yahweh, Yahweh, who gets the glory and praise? Nobody but Jesus.
Is it hard to believe that you've done 10 albums?
It kind of is. And that's not including some of the, all the live ones and my independent one. Right. It's sometimes, yeah, it's hard to believe when you say it. It's like 10, that's a lot of songs and effort and time in the studio. But then I think back and start like thinking through the seasons each one was created in. And, it's like, yeah, that was a lot of life then. And oh, that was a lot of life then. And it's like, I guess I have been doing this for, I signed when I was 21 and I'm 39 now. So I've got some years, you know, under my belt doing this. Mm-hmm. And none of this was a dream. This was like the Summer Worship Nights tour and being a touring worship artist at all. Like it wasn't the plan. I didn't even know I could ask God to make this the plan. It just wasn't even like a pathway I thought I could take. I was going to community college and leading worship at, you know, my youth group and for my church as like an intern, an 18-year-old kid. And that was great. And I thought, I'll go to college, get a little degree, work at a church. And I was excited about that. It wasn't a stepping stone to like, but one day I'm going to make it. You know, one day people are going to come to my arenas. And like, we didn't even know to ask for this. And we're just like, God, you're just too kind and good and help us to be responsible with what you've given us to handle, you know, because it's very, very precious to us to be able to have an impact in people's lives and for that to scale to where it's gotten. It's just, I couldn't be more thankful, more like humble, like almost like scared, humble, like, Lord, help me not to do something dumb. Like, I just want to be, full of integrity and a man that people trust to be behind the things I'm saying and singing and so I'm just thankful.
Yeah. No, I love that. I love that that's the attitude that you have as well, that you are, yeah, you're just grateful. And, it is funny to think about, like you said, you got started in like youth group and it's like, none of this was your plan. Do you have any memorable like youth group worship nights that like, I don't know if like the first time you did it or anything?
Yeah. I mean, I remember the first like season. I don't know if I remember the first time, but I started leading worship when I was 13. I started playing guitar when I was 12.
That's young. Then,
yeah. Well, my parents led worship as long as I'd been alive, since I was born. And so I grew up in that kind of atmosphere. So it wasn't like a strange thing, you know, it wasn't like a new idea. It was kind of like, this is what you do with the guitar. You sing these church songs, you know? My family had moved from Orange County, California to San Diego, California when I was 12. So I had this whole summer vacation with nothing to do, and guitar became my best friend, and Jesus, that's when I really started a relationship with Jesus, was playing these worship songs in my room, trying to learn how to play guitar, and God just captured my heart through these songs. I started singing to him instead of singing church songs, you know, just because that's what I did. And so the following year, as I got back to school, my new youth leader, he saw that I could play guitar, and he legit shoved me on stage. Like, you are leading worship this morning. When I walked into youth group, I'm a new kid. Like, I'm way more comfortable with like a Narnia book sitting in the corner than on the stage with a guitar. And it showed that first couple months. Like, I didn't really know how to do it, you know? Mm-hmm. And, but I just kept getting opportunities. I remember we'd have these Friday night, we called Friday night fellowship. It was at kids' homes. Parents would open up their home on Friday nights, and everybody would get dropped off, and it'd just be like pandemonium, like 80 junior high kids jumping in the pool and on the trampoline and eating way too much pizza and drinking too much soda. And then at the end, like around 8 o'clock every night, we'd all hunker down in like the living room or around a fire pit outside. And we'd sing for like an hour and pray and give kids a chance to receive Jesus. And, I kind of became the unofficial worship leader for those nights. And that's when I fell in love with the idea of leading worship, because I remember by then I kind of knew enough. I like probably knew 8 songs by heart, which is the amount of songs I needed to play that night, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I would get my guitar out and sing, and kids would start singing. And I just fell in love with the presence of God and with this idea that like I could do what I love, but God is in this too. And there's something bigger than the sum of the parts. And I remember thinking, I want to be here as long as you want me to be in these moments, God, I will be there. And so I think it's just like ever since then, you know, it's 25 years of just saying yes to those moments, you know, and, mm-hmm. and little by little, God, just those moments having a little bit more weight and a little bit more size and breadth, you know, but still the same goal, which is just to use music to hopefully help people to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit and be reminded about who God is, and let them emotionally connect with God in a unified community.
I love that. Yeah. And it's cool to see, like you said, like the trajectory of like you started just leading worship for a group of people, and you still are doing that just in a slightly different way. But I love that. I did want to ask, you know, like while you were on tour and with this album out, was there any songs that you got to sing that just like really connected with the people that were there, that like maybe that like surprised you as well?
For me, the song I Believe Every Night, it's just so full of energy and such a declaration. Singing that in the crowd, I believe there's one salvation, one doorway that leads to life, one redemption, one confession. I believe in the name of Jesus Christ. I wrote that in direct response to a conversation I had with a guy who was walking away from Jesus. And I was just so sad for him. He wasn't really walking away from Jesus. He was just walking away from people in the church that hurt him. Whenever we talk about Jesus, he's like, well, yeah, Jesus is great. Like, no one denies that. Jesus like helps the poor and dies for people. But like, if the church is representing Jesus, then I don't believe in that. It's like, I honestly kind of can't fault him for that. He got really hurt by some people. And so I just want to shout into a world that has a lot of noise saying like, this is who I am. This is what I believe. I don't believe that my pastor is not going to fail me. I don't believe that the church is perfect, but I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins to set me free. And I want to follow him into abundant life. And to sort of sing that over moments was like my favorite part of the night.
That was Phil Wickham. Make sure to check out his new album, I Believe. Just came out. All right, stay tuned. Up next, your feedback. Listening to Leisure, the song is Above Me. Laying in bed, you just feel something.
It's above me now.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting.
It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
All right. It's time for your feedback. So last week, the question of the week was, what's a show that deserves to be rebooted? You guys hit us up on X at Relevant Podcast and on Threads and all the other places and told us your 90s shows that you want to see get rebooted. Here's some of our favorites.
Okay. Curious Cryptid, great name, said the Nickelodeon game shows that got kids to build obstacle courses and play. So like Nick Arcade, Global Guts, Legends of the Hidden Temple, Wild and Crazy Kids. I contend, Curious.
I agree.
Cryptid. Mm-hmm. These are already back in the form of like American Ninja Warrior.
Yeah.
This is basically Guts for
Floor is Lava.
For grown-ups.
Yeah, you know? Put kids in it though. Like kids make it more fun.
Have the kids
and
get
there was
hurt.
Something about not like Legend of the Hidden Temple, like the story, like you know, like the little stuff they did.
The cultural appropriation.
I want to know.
Watching kids stress out at a puzzle. It's hilarious.
I
would love to have Steve Harvey hosting each one of these. And in between giving out life advice that we don't need. Unsolicited life
Steve
advice.
Steve Harvey, Kel Mitchell. Steve Harvey.
The guy from White Girls who dances. The black dot guy with the shaved head.
Terry Crews. Not Nick. Well, Nick Cannon just had to put all his kids on put his kids on the show. His kids are competing.
They compete for his affection. He's like, I only have enough money to provide for 10 kids this month. So you 12 compete for who gets the child support this month. I like it.
This episode of Guts just got real, you know.
Whoever wins gets it, whoever loses first gets out of my inheritance.
Oh my god.
Like it's just like okay. Yo.
Real but stakes. I do want to like I'm no trying to remember with the Nickelodeon games, was there a cash prize?
No, was it, just it was
a trip to Disneyland. It was a trip to Nickelodeon Studios in Orlando, Florida.
That's what it was. Yep.
What's the equivalent of? Is it still we're going to Nickelodeon Studios?
Is there a Nickelodeon studio still?
Yeah, there is, but it's right, Kim?
They moved production out to LA and shut down the Orlando one. It's very sad.
Man, see, I always wanted to be on Nickelodeon, bro. For real.
I always liked the game Figure It Out.
Wasn't it No Big Deal
one.
Was? Wasn't he a contestant on one of these shows? Yeah.
He was on
Double Dare.
Yeah,
him and his brother. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
He was a little dude, though.
He was so pudgy.
He was just a little pudgy guy. That was my favorite arc of his life. When I met him, he was a little thicker. Now he's all like, you know, he's sleek. He looks good. He looks cool. Right. You know, but back in the day when he had short dreads and he was a little like. He ate a lot more MSG. That was my favorite version of No Big Deal.
Have you guys seen the old Aaron Paul clip?
A lot more MSG?
Yeah, he just loved Asian food.
Have you seen Aaron Paul on Price is Right back in the day?
No way. Oh, yeah. Was he dressed up, Jesse?
Yeah. No, I
think he was wearing some like an interesting, but it wasn't like a costume. Oh, okay. I don't think.
Yeah,
I think
it's just how he dressed.
Wait, this is before he was famous? He was literally a fan? Or?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he was on Price is Right. Yeah.
Yo, he looks so goofy, bro.
Most of these replies are Nickelodeon game shows. Everybody wants to see those get rebooted.
Yes. Yeah. Nickelodeon, it's time.
I'm with Jesse. We have ridiculous game shows now. Wipeout, Floor is Lava.
Yeah, but nobody's
like
getting hit with slime at the end of American Ninja Warrior. We were waiting for the slime.
Somebody died on Wipeout. Died because they fell in a weird way or whatever. Intense. I mean, like,
that's what I'm saying. I don't want to see that. I want to see kids.
Yeah. I think Cameron, you're making
like
his
low
point.
Low stakes, but still entertaining.
Wipeout is crazy. Wipeout is crazy, bro.
Yeah, I know. It's better
it's
than any of these
than
shows.
Legends of the Hidden Temple.
You guys remember MXP, like the Asian one, where the guys were like, and it's like it was on like Spike TV back in the day, and they would be jumping off, and the guy would be they translate it different. No one remembers MXP. It was really good.
No, I do, but I was like, that's too much. No. It's real.
Yeah, it's really good. And so anyway, it was like they would overdub it. And it was on Spike Television. I don't know what channel that was. It was like a weird... It's called Most Extreme Elimination Challenge. And
yeah, and it was crazy.
They got hurt for real. Like, they got hurt. Yeah, I just posted it right here. I put it in our chat. But they got hurt. It's so old school that it's not even on YouTube. It's on Daily Motion. That's just the media website that it's on.
That's funny. All right. Well, that'll do it for last week's feedback. There's more where you can... This is crazy. I'm watching these
clips. Yeah, watch it, please.
These people are getting legit hurt. And that's
yes, it's crazy. That's funny. A lot.
All right. It's time for this week's...
Editorial question of the week.
All right. Well, at the beginning of the show, we were talking about the Roman Empire and all the weird things that Jesse thinks about. That we all think about from time to time. Me, the origin of food. Who figured out that we could eat that? Like, who figured out that that tastes the way it tastes? Or that if you cook it, it goes from inedible to delicious. So, like, that kind of thing. Who figured that out? That's what I want to know. Jesse always thinks about...
Things that are actually interesting.
Things that are actually interesting. Who jumped on a horse for the first time? Things like that. What's the thing that you think about... more than you probably should, that other people would find weird? Hit us up on Twitter/X at Relevant Podcast, or you can hit us up at Relevant Magazine on Threads and everywhere else. Well, before we wrap things up, I want to thank Phil Wickham for joining us today. Make sure to check out his 10th studio album. It's called I Believe. Just came out. Also, make sure to check out relevantmagazine.com every weekday, where we're covering the intersection of faith, culture, and everything in between. If you don't want to miss anything we put out, make sure to follow us on all the socials. But if you're too busy for that, you just want the best of the best, head over to the site and sign up for our daily newsletter. We send you our top 5 trending stories each weekday morning right there in your inbox. It's a great way to keep in touch with everything we're doing, or at least the best stuff we're doing. All right. Well, on that note, we'll wrap things up. I'm Cameron Strang.
I'm Jesse Carey.
I'm Emily Brown.
I'm Derek Miner.
I'm Marty.
We'll see you next time. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Relevant Podcast. Check out our features, interviews, and news updates every day at relevantmagazine.com. And make sure to follow Relevant on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the latest. For more great podcasts, browse the shows on the Relevant Podcast Network, which you can find at our site. And while you're there, don't miss the all-new era of Relevant Magazine. A new issue releases every other month at relevantmagazine.com.
Gary Busey, $50, says you can't lift that old tube TV clear over your head.
Relevant Podcast Network.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.